Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
There is life and death in our tongues. Words really do matter. You know, the Christian rock band Hawk Nelson has a song called Words, and the lyrics go like this. They've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They've made me feel like a criminal. They've made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I've never been, and they've dragged me down back to where I began. Words can build you up. Words can break you down, start a fire in your heart, or put it out. Well, today we finish our conversation on what's called trigger number 9, justification. It's inside the larger teaching series called The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. This is part 3 of 3. And in today's podcast, we're going to discuss 3 things. Number 1, how the tongue is never fully tamed. Number 2, how blessings and cursing come from the same mouth. And number 3, the seriousness of using God's word out of context so that you can continue in your sin. So let's get started with today's lesson. This is Why Words Matter.
People can tame all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and it's evil. It's full of deadly poison. Sometimes, listen to this, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and then sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessings and cursings come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and my sisters, that's not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and salty water? Does a fig tree produce olives, or does a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So what's he saying? He's saying, how is it that we can go to church on Sunday morning and we worship Almighty God and we are singing how great is the Lord God, right? We're singing all these wonderful hymns. We got our hands raised high and then we get into the car and someone cuts us off. We're not even out of the parking lot yet and we cuss the guy that's in front of us. And just 20 minutes ago, I was singing a holy hymn to the Lord God Almighty. And out comes cuss words. Same thing with our hands, right? You see, people worshiping, that's great. Sunday night is the most used night for pornography. So we take those same hands and we click the mouse and we shouldn't be doing things that we should be doing with those same hands. That's what James is saying here. He's asking us to think because a Christian man of integrity produces Christian behavior ultimately. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 33. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. He says, you brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart, that's what determines what you say. Whoa. How many times have you guys, something just happens and something just, it just comes out, the anger that you have, it just comes out. You know, it's kind of like when you get home from a hard day and you just want to be left alone when you walk in the door, right? And people have been nipping at you all day and you've just had enough and you just want to be left alone. You open up that door, and there's your wife's cat. You just want to kick the cat, right? The cat didn't do anything. I'm learning. I'm in a new season of my life, guys, to where God is purging some stuff out of me that I'm just disgusted with myself that it's still in there. Some of the things that go through my head and how I'll get upset, like, whoa, where is that coming from? That's deep-seated sin that just continues to work its way out. You guys get that?
It's kind of weird, though. Like in James, you're just reading, I don't know if I noticed this before, but it says, but no one can tame the tongue. I mean, that's a little discouraging. You know, I mean, it's obviously we're supposed to work on our holiness and gradually get better in things. I mean, stuff like you're talking about, too, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, it's a combination of this and that. If you're the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, so you can't tame the tongue. You need to tame your heart. You need to fill your heart with good stuff because that's what your tongue is going to speak.
Yeah, good point.
It's like, whoa, no one can tame the tongue? I would say if you even look at the Apostle Paul and look at some of the things that he said through Scripture, especially when he was, well, before he was Paul. Actually, you look at Saul when he was, when before he met the Lord. He was doing all of the going around making sure that these Christians knew what was going to happen, right? And yet at the end of the day, he called himself the chief of all sinners. Yeah, it's a pretty awakening thing to realize. I would encourage you to go, okay, this is just something else that I need to cling to Jesus about, is my mouth. Pastor Tommy Nelson with Denton Bible Church, he tells this story. He said, I was baptized and he immerses him in water and he brings this gentleman back up and all of a sudden he spits some water like that. And he's like, what'd you do that for? He said, I just wanted to make sure that my tongue got saved. I remember a drastic change in my language when I got saved. Anybody else? I used to cuss like a sailor. The F word, I was my favorite word. Nobody else in here? Drastic change in your language?
For me, it was kids. It was kids for me.
Oh, to change your language?
Yeah, which is kind of, they kind of go hand in hand.
I remember hearing bedside conversions of pastors going, and this person was getting ready to die. They would accept the Lord, and the family's like, this is never going to work. This guy's not going to accept Christ. He does, and he lives for a few more hours, and people will go, wait a second. Have you noticed that Grandpa hasn't said an F word for the last 2 hours since he's been saved? And the family's like, that's a miracle. That's the Lord. But I would say that this is just another part for us really to cling to Jesus on this stuff, to go, I've got my work cut out for me. But knowing that you can't do it by yourself either. Verse 35, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you're going to have to give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word that you speak. The words will either acquit you or condemn you.
What do you mean by idle?
Idle is this idea. Anybody have a different translation on that? Let's take a look. Empty words?
Careless.
That's another one I'll pull up right now and see what the Greek says.
It kind of makes me think of that song. I think it's called Words, right? It's like, if I'm going to speak a word, I want it to be to better your kingdom. And so every word that you speak that doesn't, you know, make God's kingdom better would be an empty word, an idle word. It's there's no action. That's why they say idle. Towards bettering the kingdom.
Thinking like idle, what I think of that is like your car idling. You just, it's, the engine's on, but you're not moving. You're not being productive. You're not going forward. Mm. Is that the whole idea behind this? My version says worthless word.
It means marked by a lack of attention, consideration, forethought, or thoughtlessness, or thoroughness. Interesting. Yeah, every careless word, marked by a lack of attention. So it's this idea, you're just running your mouth and you're not really thinking about what you're saying.
Yeah, so like you said, not active. Words with no purpose.
You're just being careless. You're not really having a conversation. You're not really engaging in the other person to edify them at all.
With your mouth and not with your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Or your heart, better yet.
Let me make a transition to another level of justification for tonight. We've been talking about how words matter, how our tongue matters, the excuses that we have, the excuses that are for our sin, it matters. And the bottom line is that we're not going to have any more excuses. We're not going to be able to justify our sin, our pornography habit, or any of that stuff when we're standing face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not going to be any talk to figure out what the definition of is. There's not going to be a discussion on whether or not masturbation is a sin. You know what I mean? Proverbs 10:19. Let me just read some of these to you. Proverbs 10:19, and I believe these are from the New Living Translation. It says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Proverbs 12:13, the wicked are trapped by their own words, but the godly escape such trouble. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk, they're going to reap the consequences. And Proverbs 21:23, watch your tongue, keep your mouth shut, and you're going to stay out of trouble. Now, in all seriousness, there are some of you tonight in here, right now, who use Scripture out of context, with your wife specifically, and with your children. You are beating your family with God's word. You're supposed to be lifting them up for the glory of God, but you're using God's word for the sole purpose of getting what you want at home. And you need to hear tonight that when you do this, you're considered a false teacher. And you preach a message that you don't understand to simply justify your sin. And this, guys, is where justification gets really serious. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to go down to verse 14. But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they're going to bring sudden destruction on themselves. See, many will follow their evil teaching and their shameful immorality. And because of these false teachers, the way of truth, it's going to be slandered. In their greed, they're going to make up clever lies to get a hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction, it's not going to be delayed. Verse 10, He, that's God, He is especially hard on those who follow their own twisted sexual desire and who despise authority. That verse 10 there is so critical, gentlemen, that when you are acting out in sin and you take your Bible and you beat your wife down and say, woman, you have to submit to me. I want you to hear right now as your friend. She doesn't have to submit to you because you're not submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how Ephesians 5 works. She submits to you because you look like Jesus. And if you're making her uncomfortable with some of the sexual things that you've seen in pornography and you want to act them out with your wife, well, she has a right to be uncomfortable with that. At that point, her body is not yours. It's the Lord's. He is especially hard on those who follow their own twisted sexual desire, who despise authority. Do you despise authority? Have you called your partner and talked about what you're wanting to do and why you're beating your family with God's word instead of lifting them up with it? Peter continues. He says, these people are proud and they're arrogant, just like you. They're daring even to scoff at supernatural beings without so much as trembling. These false teachers are like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, and they are born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they don't understand. When we do that with God's word, we do not understand what we're doing. And like animals, they will be destroyed. Their destruction is their reward for the harm that they've done, and they love to indulge in evil pleasures in broad daylight. They are a disgrace and a stain among you. They delight in deception, even as they eat with you in fellowship meals. They commit adultery with their eyes, and their desire for sin is never satisfied. Lust is never satisfied, guys. They lure unstable people into sin, and they are well trained in greed, and they live under God's curse. This is a false teacher. What you say matters. How you justify your sin matters. Justification keeps you inside the spiral. Confession allows you to exit the spiral.
Those are sobering words from the Apostle Paul today as we close out this podcast. And if you are a wife listening, I want to chat with you specifically on this subject of repentance and your husband using God's word to beat you and your family down instead of lifting you up. If I had to guess, I would bet that there's a good possibility that you're listening to this podcast because you're hurting and you're looking for specific answers. And I'm guessing that you're listening to this and your husband is not. Now, if your husband is listening or you guys are listening together, that's a very good sign. For those of you who are praying for the Lord to change your husband, that he would repent, I would like to offer just a few suggestions. Number one, obviously, keep praying for your husband, but then let him go. Give him and all of his behaviors over to the Lord. You can't change him, and the Lord is not going to force him to change. Part of this journey is that your husband, he must surrender and submit willfully. You don't want to be the referee standing between your husband and God. Number two, I want you to take care of yourself, that you desperately need a group of women who understand where you are and can help process this pain that you're going through. You can't do this alone. You can't. Reading books and listening to podcasts is one thing, but healing begins in godly community. And number three, schedule a time to meet with a pastoral or Christian counselor who has specific training, specific experience with sexual sin. This is so critical to work out the very specific issues and the questions that you have yourself. It's crucial that you also protect yourself physically and protect yourself sexually, especially if you think that your husband is having an affair. If that means getting tested for STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, it's imperative that you do that. Now, a word of caution as you think about these things that we're discussing today. As you begin to make changes, your husband may become angry and upset. And this is normal. His sin, his pride, is going to rise up out of him because he's starting to lose control, or this illusion of control that he thought he had in the first place. Proverbs 22:24 says, "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man." The NIV says, "Don't make friends with a hot-tempered man. Don't associate with one who is easily angered." Lastly, if he's not taking control in areas like he should, for example, protecting all of your computers, your tablets, and your phones with internet filtering software, some type of program to block pornography, I would like to encourage you to be proactive in this area as well. I've been using Covenant Eyes internet filtering software for years, so let me encourage you to visit CovenantEyes.com today. And when you do, you can receive a 30-day free trial. Just put my full name in the promo box with no spaces. When you sign up, you're supporting the ministry of Seven Places and this podcast. Thank you for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. And if you're in Phoenix, you're invited to our weekly community group. It's a grace group. It's for men and women, husbands and wives, single, together, divorced, everybody's welcome. And you're invited to listen to God with us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church. We're in Building A, room 301. You can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor. You can email me your questions at DustinDanielsRadio.com. 1 Corinthians 4:20 reads, "The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power." The power that's the very name and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I love you, and I look forward to our time again on Monday.